Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is February 13th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by going to MotorVitality.com and listening to years and years and years and years worth of them in the past, and who doesn't want to do that, or by subscribing to MotorVitality and you can listen to several of the most recent ones at by subscribing to MotorVitality on Google Podcast or Apple iTunes or Apple Podcast or whatever podcast application you use, and you can have them downloaded automatically to your phone. We do love having you here live, though, and especially since, again, this week we didn't send out a notice of what the topic was going to be or an invitation, which means that all of you that are on here live put this on your calendar and found it important, and I really that I truly appreciate very much. Means a lot to me. It is always my goal to make sure that the information, the tools and the things that you learn here is at least as valuable as the time that you're giving us, and so it really is an honor to be able to serve you in this way. So I'm going to start the call off the way I do every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country? Or anything we can help you with? Any questions or comments or thoughts or anything we can help you with?
Being my first week, I've learned lots, and I'm continuing to learn.
Hi, Maria. This is your first week. Let's talk about that for a second, because I think that's, all of us have experienced that on this call. Okay, we've all had a first week. What has been your first, coming into this industry, and 4 days in, what is the biggest thing that has surprised you so far about coming into the industry and what you've learned and that sort of thing?
I have lots to learn. That is, I guess, the biggest thing, that I really had no knowledge. So the layperson, that was me, and I'm learning, and I'm eye-opening, definitely a lot. And my interest is peaked, so I'm going all over the place and learning more. And it's very, very exciting.
So those of you that have been here a while who are remembering your first week, any advice that you can give somebody who's 4 days in, and if you recall and go back to it, that first week you tend to feel a little overwhelmed because Maria's right. There is so much, it's sometimes because you have appointments scheduled here and there, it's not like a classroom thing where you can just sit down and have it structured and organized exactly the same way every time. And so sometimes you'll learn something in this topic, and then another learning opportunity will come up over here. And so you jump from this topic to that topic and you move, to learning. What advice would some of you on the call that may recall, what Maria is feeling right now, what advice would you give to her? And yes, I know we have the typical all of you all in sync say, run as fast as you can, right? Just
but, no. Yeah. So, hey, this is Stacy. I'm going to jump in. 6 years in, there's still stuff I don't know. As much as I've learned, there's probably a whole lot more to learn. Just learn something, take a little time every week to learn something new. And here's the big one that I was reminded of this week. There are no shortcuts. We had a situation where a potential customer was upset with the sales rep that had gone out, and that she was willing to give us another chance as long as we didn't send him back out. I went out and I learned all the things that he basically halfway did and shortcutted. And he's been complaining about being stuck in rentals and not selling anything lately. And I came back and told him exactly why he was having a problem with that, because of all the he didn't take the time to explain things, do all the testing. He only did the hardness test. didn't go over anything else, didn't explain why his recommendation was his recommendation, nor did he even give her the option to purchase.
Oh.
And he's been complaining about, you know, being stuck in rentals. And I went back to him, I said, you're a sweetheart of a person, but you were hurried, you were rushed, you only halfway did this appointment. He said, well, I had like 3 appointments right in a row. And I said, they should be 2 hours apart. And he said, well, they were 45 minutes apart. And I said, did the office do that to you? He said, no, I did that to myself. I said, don't.
Yeah,
every customer deserves your undivided attention. And every customer wants respect. I said,
you
that's
know,
where you're feeling.
We, Maria and I had this conversation just yesterday, and it's not an uncommon thing for somebody to come in new in the industry. And some of you may remember this, you know, from when you came in or whatever. But a lot of times you'll have the top sales guy or gal, you know, sales professional in the office, somebody that's been there for quite a while. They knock it out of the park. They're top in sales. They do really well. And so a new person will come in, and as makes sense, they want to learn from the person who's doing the best, right? They want to ride with that person. And as a trainer, I am often hesitant to send that brand new sales professional out with the person that's been doing it for a long time. Because what does tend to happen, for better or worse, there are two things that happen. Number one, that person who's been doing it a long time, they do gain some experience. So they're doing really well, but they probably have developed some shortcuts. Now, they've overcome that because they have also had enough experience to recognize when they can use the shortcuts and when they can't, although sometimes that goes a little too far, right? Even a veteran who's knocking it out of the park and selling quite a bit could actually sell more if they went back to some of the basics and the demonstration and some of the stuff there. But in general, you know, they know how to use the tools. They know how to recognize when to pull the tool out of their arsenal and to use it and not use it. And a new person going out and riding with that person is going to learn those shortcuts before they ever learn the long way, you know, the basics, the thorough way of doing it, which means they're never going to have an appreciation for what the shortcuts are. And so it can actually do a lot more harm for a new person to ride with the veteran. I tend to send new people out with new people. Somebody that has shown that they can close the sale, somebody that can show that they're doing it, you know, but because a new person is going to learn, you know, they're actually going to be closer to that thorough presentation, to doing it, going back to the basics. For those of you that read my book, you know that there was a period of time, even after I'd been doing it a long time, that I had 1 month in particular, and I refer back to this quite a bit, you know, because there were a lot of things that I learned from it, lessons that I learned from it. But I had that February where I had 12 appointments in a row that I didn't close, which was really hard emotionally, financially. It was really challenging for that. And one of the first things that I had to do, kind of to your point, Stacy, is to go back and take a look at my presentation and recognize that I had, over the course of a couple of years, started developing shortcuts. I was, you know, there were a lot of things. I was wearing jeans on appointments instead of dressing with Dockers, and I was wearing jeans and tennis shoes in, and I had slowly just sort of justified that, you know, I slipped into that. I was still wearing a logoed shirt and everything, but I was going in with jeans and tennis shoes. I was going in and I wasn't really doing that thorough, you know, I hadn't done a soap flask demo in ages. And do you do the soap flask in every appointment? I mean, the reality is, I bet you anybody who's been doing this a long time doesn't do it on every appointment. But if you go back and you remember how impressive it was to you the very first time you saw it, Maria, I just showed it to you a couple days ago, you know, and that was on four grains of water, and it worked. You know, it made the difference. Do you remember the impact that looking at the soap in the flask had on you? You know, and so that's one that salespeople tend to cut out, because after you've done it 1,000 times, it's not as impressive to you doing it. And then we start to justify not doing it. We go into the home and we justify not doing that demonstration, because we say to ourselves, oh, the customers, they already know what soft water is. They already had a water softener. They don't need to see that. They know that they use less soap. But they don't. They don't know that. They bought a water softener. They've had a water softener, yet they're still filling the dishwasher compartments up completely full. They're still squeegeeing their bathroom. They're still treating their water chemically and in other ways, which means that they're paying twice as much money as they need to pay. So we actually, not only are we going to your point, Stacey, you know, lose the opportunity to make sales there, but it's also irresponsible, to not educate our customers on that stuff, to not tell them the benefits or show them the benefits of what they're going to have with the water conditioner. And what I mean by irresponsible is, I mean, you guys have heard me on this soapbox before, literally a soapbox, right? So you know, using 75% less soap means 75% less plastic to store the soap. It means 75% less gas to ship the soap. What we do makes a difference if we are doing our job in educating the customer, you know, and going through there and not taking those shortcuts. So really good advice, Stacey. I love that we're sharing that with Maria. So what else? This is a different topic than I was going to talk about today, but I like this topic. This is good. What else do we have here? What else would you tell somebody who's been here 4 days?
This is Jen. I would say, don't be afraid to start building relationships now. I think what happens a lot of times is that people are nervous to go into the home or go into businesses and build relationships, and they wait until they are, you know, 2-3 months into it, and they're nervous because they, you know, well, I don't know enough yet. You know, I don't want to sound stupid when I do it. When I go in and talk to them, but start building those relationships now, the foundations. And the perfect way to do that is, you know what, I'm newer to the industry. Can I learn about your industry? And of course they're going to share their information with you. And, you know, I think people wait too long, and then when they end up going on straight commission, they don't have those relationships built to start getting the benefits back.
Another really good piece of advice. We run into that so much. We have a training salary, and people, you know, in life can happen, right? It gets busy and you're concentrating so much on worrying about learning, you know, so that you have the confidence to go in. But you're right. The first time you go in and approach somebody, you know, an appliance store or a kitchen bath or, you know, any number of the ones, Maria, you came prepared ahead of time with a list of potential places. Now's the time to start going out and introducing yourself. And Jen's right. Ask them to tell you about what they do. You know, go in and say, hey, I'm brand new at this. I don't really know a lot. I'm learning, but my instincts tell me that there's potential for a relationship down the road. Is there a time that we could sit down and you could kind of tell me about your business and I could, just so I understand how it impacts this new industry that I came into. But the one thing that Jen's right about is, and the other thing, there's lots of things that Jen's right about, but the not waiting, and it does take time. And Bob, I don't know if you're on the call right now, but you could attest to that. Corey, I know you've done that. Jason and Chad. You know, we've all had this discussion about how long it takes to build those relationships, and I think to some extent I might be, you know, I might have to do a better job when I'm personally teaching and training somebody, because, you know, I talk about the relationships that I built and the referrals that I got and how I went out and did all that, and I've gone out in Canvas, and I walk in and I do that stuff, and people think, all I really need is a month. I still have 3 months of training salary. I still have 4 months or whatever. It takes every bit of that 6 months to begin to get those referrals. And even then, you're never going to make a ton of money off of one or two relationships. In order, let's say you set up a successful referral relationship with the kitchen and bath store. I mean, how many are you really going to get from them? Maybe two or three referrals a year, maybe two of those close. There's no way you can make a living on that, which means that if you're going to be successful in building those relationships, you've got to have 20 or 25 of those types of relationships that are feeding you those, those creative referrals, those business. And then the job does become kind of fun. It becomes a lot less about sales and about continuing to nurture those relationships, So when you do get that referral, it's pretty easy to walk into the house and close it because you did get that referral, but it definitely takes time. I mean, how long did it take you to become friends with your best friend, or to, if you're married, how long did you court your spouse before you were decided to make that commitment? I mean, that is relationship 101. It takes time to build those relationships. Very, very good advice, Jen. Excellent. What else? Maria, I don't want you to feel like you're being lectured on this, but I do want you to feel free. I mean, this is kind of an interesting conversation here, and a reminder to those of us that are that have been in the industry for a long time. Even as I'm speaking, I'm hearing the advice that Jen and Stacy are giving, and as I'm thinking, wow, I got to do a better job of making sure that I share that. So you never, it's not only about learning new stuff. Sometimes it's about being reminded about the stuff that I've been doing this 21, 22 years, and there's been a lot of stuff out there that I've learned and a lot of it that I've forgotten, and I'm frankly guilty of taking shortcuts on things too. What else do we have though? What other advice would you give? And Maria, what questions do you have for some of the people across the country that have been doing this a while?
I'm really just taking it in, and I appreciate all the advice of going back to the basics, and just because we tend to get complacent in what we do because what works for us. But again, I'm willing to learn, and I'm enjoying the time with Kelly, and today I'm going out with someone else. So it's just, I'm a big sponge.
Yeah. What other advice do we have for somebody coming in 4 days in? What advice would you guys have? Jerry, are you still on?
I am. I was just thinking about that. And basically it's sales 101, and that is, you're so interested in learning the technical aspects of this, as am I, because I'm also new to this particular industry, though I'm certainly not new to sales. But I think that probably the most important thing that I could think of just off the top of my head would be listening to, you're so focused on learning the technical aspects of what you have to do. But I think the most important part of it is learning to make sure that you're listening to what your client is actually needing and wanting, what's important to them. And you can kind of lose focus of that when you're so focused on learning the technical aspects of something.
We run into that, and I know Jen can share this as well. That's something that we see a lot. There's so much information. And as many of you that have trained under Jen and I know, specifically, we do go into the technical parts of it, the chemistry and how things work, and because I do think that's important. And the risk of that, there are manufacturers out there and some dealers that they don't want their salespeople to know anything other than a script. They give them a script, and they keep it very simple. And when somebody asks a technical question, that's above your pay grade. Leave the technical stuff to somebody else. And that technique for salespeople, it does work a lot of times. And I absolutely understand. I don't agree with it, but I understand the reason dealers or manufacturers encourage salespeople to not learn stuff. And that's because exactly what we're saying, salespeople can tend to go in and go, I'm absolutely guilty of this, that sometimes, Bob, if you're on the call, you've seen this, you saw this in some of the very first calls that you and I went on, that, you know, you go into the weeds and suddenly you're talking about it. And some of the feedback I get when I leave an appointment sometimes is, you know, this, I'll always ask the person that I'm training, so what'd you think? And they're like, I think you lost them at valence, or, you know, whatever technical term. And it's a reminder to me that I need to, just because I know the information doesn't mean I have to say it. And I think what ends up happening with somebody new coming in and learning all of that is that they, because I'm training them, or Jen is training them. Jen's actually better at this than I am at going to the basics and you know, staying out of the you know, really deep into the chemical weeds and stuff like that. But what you're saying, Jerry, is exactly right. It's good to know that stuff. It's good to learn it. And it is important to know down the road. But ultimately, what's most important, and this kind of does go back to the relationship stuff, ultimately what's most important is to step back and say, what are we offering? I mean, when it comes down to it, Maria, even 4 days in, you have a pretty good idea. When somebody says, oh, I'm concerned about my drinking water, you could give them a recommendation right now. You can tell them, oh, yeah, we have a system that would fix that. Maybe you can't explain to them yet how it works. Maybe you can't explain the technical. You know, yesterday you and I went through, you know, we were talking about microns and you know, there's terms like rejection rates and TDS and all these terms that we've thrown around for 4 days. But basics right now is simply that you know that we have a system that can take out hardness, and you know we have a system that can take out chlorine, and you know we have a system that will give them high quality drinking water right at their kitchen tap. And ultimately, even 4 days into it, that's way more than what your customers know usually. And so, you know, it, what Jerry's saying there is correct. We the one thing that we can absolutely guarantee is that you will not, I mean, ultimately, you know, whatever the title is, territory manager or sales professional or whatever it is, most of you on this call, your job is to sell. You're not professional visitors. You're not scientists. Your job is to go out and produce sales opportunities and revenue for the companies that you work with. Okay, so that's your job ultimately. And the one thing that we can absolutely guarantee is that 100% of the people that you never talk to or approach will not buy anything. The only way you're going to bring revenue in is if you go out there and you talk to people. And so the odds are that, you know, maybe you don't have enough knowledge yet to close at that 60, 70, 80, 90% that you wish you could close. Maybe that's the case. But as long as you're not going out there and misleading people or you know, and as long as you're approaching with integrity and honesty, you know, I mean, you certainly could do damage by going out there and just making stuff up and lying to people. You know, that could do lasting damage. But I don't think most of you or any of you on this call would want to do that. And I think customers understand that there's different levels of experience. You know, ultimately, though, the way you're going to learn is when they ask you a question, you make a phone call or you go on an appointment, or you walk into a business and you talk to somebody and they ask you a question that you don't know the answer to, that's the best way for you to learn, is to then take that question. And the cool thing about all of you here is you actually have a resource, lots of resources to get those answers. You know, so you have that answer and or you ask it, you get the question asked, and then you get the answer. Next time you know the answer. It's kind of incredible how quickly that happens too. It's, for me, I remember the very first time I ever commented and felt like I knew what I was talking about on the water technology on bulletin board, you know, which doesn't exist anymore. But it was I remember, you know, going into that dialogue, and I remember the first time I made a comment that actually people came back in and they were saying, yes, I agree with Kelly. That's exactly right. That's what I would do, and expand that. Talk about, I mean, it was a great feeling to go on there and realize that suddenly I knew the terms. I knew what people were saying. I knew what they were talking about. And it really did. It's like one day I didn't know it, and the next day I kind of did. And it was, you know, that's what you'll find. But you cannot wait to talk to people, because you've got to start learning what you don't know now. Good feedback, Jerry. Thank you. That was awesome. Good advice. Okay, last
one I was saying, I'd like to say on that.
Yeah, please.
And that is, as you're listening, we have competitors out there who have products that will do the same thing that our product does. And there are times when people are going to be shopping. And I think oftentimes of someone, a person I knew who spent a lot of time counseling. And he told me once that about an incident where a woman had come to him and was talking to him and had an issue. And he said he didn't say anything. He just listened to her for about 30 minutes. And when she finished, she told him that she felt so much better and that he had given her excellent advice. And that made me think about, we often think that we know what the person wants and needs, and we'll tell them, and they'll at times need to talk over us because we're explaining to them something that they have no interest in hearing, and we're not really addressing their concerns. And so I just think that's extremely important in sales, is to listen a lot more than talk.
Two ears and one mouth, and that's easier said than done for some of us in sales sometimes. You know, we tend to be, again, one of those things that I'm absolutely guilty of. In fact, as you're telling that story, some of you may have heard the story, you know, before, where I went in and I had a customer that, you know, I had a unique softener, and I'd gone in there and I'd tested their water. It was very clear they needed a softener, and I started jumping in and talking to them all about this softener that we had and everything else. And they were like, that sounds really interesting. And they were asking questions. They were engaging about the softener and the unique features of it and everything. And I left there thinking, man, for sure I'm going to get this. And then I followed up with them, and they were one of those that didn't return my call. And finally, when I saw them outside, and I was driving by and I saw them outside, and I stopped by and I said, hey, you know, what'd you guys end up doing for the water softener? And they said, oh, we actually called you out here. We were really interested in the drinking water system. It's just when you started talking about your softener, it was so interesting. But we had, you know, one of their family members were giving them a softener, like a used softener that they pulled out of their thing.
TPD in Glendale.
Hello.
Hello. That's all I have for him.
Hello. We're still on the call here. All right. Anyway, so you're absolutely right that, you know, it's important to listen and figure out what the customers are. We can't assume that we know what they're looking for. You know, we have to absolutely sit down. And that goes all the way back to, you know, the oldie but goodie, right? The Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. The whole premise of that book is listening to people and empowering them and letting them talk about themselves and what their needs are. And suddenly they feel, you know, people like to talk about themselves. They like to express, they like to get it out, and that makes them feel empowered, and they like people that listen. So, very good feedback. Any final thoughts or comments on this? This was a totally different topic than I was going to do today, but I think it was a good one. I think with it, sometimes going back to the basics. So any final thoughts on this, comments? So with that then, if it's your thing, may tomorrow and the weekend be filled with lots and lots and lots of love and hearts and little sugar things with cute messages on it. So everybody be safe. Have a very, very, very wonderful and safe weekend, and we will talk to you next week, if not before. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you.